Miyamoto discusses Nintendo without him. Elden Ring DLC expansion announced. One console, one game in gaming history. The games we played and our games of the week. This is Very Average Gaming. Welcome, everybody, to Very Average Gaming. I'm Will Williams, and with me every week to talk video games with you is Joe Cotter.
How's everybody doing today? I hope we had a good week.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, now I got two kids sick. You know, I got one with a 102 fever and the other one with an ear infection. So it's a very crazy time here.
Well, I don't have as many issues as you going on over there. I just got a sore foot. But other than that, I'm doing all right. you got those dad problems going on.
Yeah, you know, and then I'm like, it's just been a pain in the butt, but it is what it is. So
absolutely,
let's get into it, right? So like every week, we'll go over the latest episode of The Last of Us. This one was a pretty cool one. It was just kind of a flashback episode of what went on with Ellie. You know,
her backstory.
Pretty much her backstory. What happened before she met Joel and the Fireflies and all that. And it was pretty not depressing, but even though you kind of know what kind of happened to her girlfriend, but it was just more kind of put her life in perspective.
Yeah, I think it was a big wake-up call for her.
Yeah, you know, it just shows you, I guess it kind of like humanized her in a sense, and I'm trying to think of the right words.
It gave her perspective.
Yeah. You know, I think it was really cool. Like, I liked how, like, there was the theater to the movie theater set, be back in 5 minutes. There was the whole mall situation, Mortal Kombat 2 made of an appearance, which is pretty cool.
The fact that they showed how awesome, like, they did malls justice.
Yeah, like, well, how malls used to be, yeah.
Malls back in the day, you say what you want about, you know, us, you know, our age and stuff. Malls back in the day were amazing. Like, it was fun to go do that stuff. Like, you had arcades, movie theaters, and everything all at one place.
But when we were growing up, that was, like, the hangout. Like, we would walk around the mall, like, on a Friday or Saturday night because you couldn't go out, like, you know, I guess partying. So you would go on and walk around the mall, go in the different stores, and sometimes you'd buy something, other times you'd window shop. You know, and they all had the carousel and, like, you know, the arcades, like you said. Some of them had movie theaters.
Yeah. And like, you know, you met everybody went there. So you saw most of your friends.
Yeah, you know. But no, it was the episode. I enjoyed the episode. It was nice to see her backstory and, like, this little love story between her. And for whatever reason, the name of the other woman in the episode is, like, the name of the character is just slipping my mind. And I'm trying to remember for the life of me. I watched it at release. So, like, when it first came out, I finally got to watch an episode, like, on Sunday. I was like, whoa. But where is it? I'm going to look it up because it's going to bother me.
I got it.
Oh, what is it?
Her name was, hold on, got to click.
Riley. Okay, Riley. Yeah. So, and you could see that, you know, it kind of reminded me of, like, you know, when you were in high school and you were, like, kind of dating someone and, like, you didn't know if they were into you as much as you were into them, and the whole, like, she didn't know if she should try to go in for a kiss, and...
Yeah, she was trying to figure everything out.
Yeah, it was, like, one of those, you know, she's exploring the boundaries of a relationship, not knowing if Riley felt the same way as her. And I think it was done really well. Like, I think it didn't push the envelope too far. And I think it handled it extremely well for, you know, people in that situation. And then, you know, then they got attacked.
Yeah, I mean, it did kind of get built up.
Yeah.
As to how she was bitten.
Yeah, well, of course.
So, I mean, this is basically, you know, leading up to the events of that day. So,
well, yeah, you know, and like the one shot they showed, you know, they panned out the camera and you saw the wall crawler on the wall, like well before like the attack happened, you know, and it kind of just showed how like the
which was creepy in its own right, how much detail they put into that shot.
Yes, definitely. And it just like it showed how the world, even with all this chaos and stuff going on, was still divided. You had the Fedra indoctrinating these people to believe one thing, and then the Fireflies obviously are the rebels that are going against what they believe the government should be doing.
They both thought they were doing the right thing, but at the end of the day, the right thing was somewhere in between.
Yep, and you know, and it kind of goes into detail about like why both sides have been bad and both sides are good, and it's just a tug at everyone's perspectives. And then towards the end, you know, it kind of shows that Ellie's relationship with Joel is now like, I guess she's considering him more like family than just someone who's transporting her across the country.
Well, yeah, because she's involuntarily developing a relationship with him, even though he's so closed off because of what happened with his past. Because he's kind of got the same mentality as her, but he's showing it from a different point of view. Whereas he shuts down and keeps everybody away from him because he doesn't want to lose anybody else. Well, whereas she's developing a fondness for him because she doesn't want to lose anybody else.
Yeah.
So it's like this, little back and forth that the two of them have that they're still working on hashing out. And then over the course of the series, you'll see that bond slowly grow.
Well, yeah. I mean, like you saw it definitely in this episode when she's like scrounging around looking for something to sew up his wound. And then as she's like sewing him, he's holding her hand, like showing affection.
Yeah, she pretty much went into overdrive with the "I'm not losing anybody else" mentality.
Yep, and he's starting to finally open up and say like letting her in, as opposed to just keeping his wall up and being guarded.
The way the episode went, though, it went similarly to how episode 3 went. Whereas in the beginning, it's the two of them. And then it switches back to, you know, what happened to her and Riley at the mall. And then it comes back to them at the end, similarly to how episode 3 did that.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Where they started off at that gas station and he's looking for the stash or whatever. And she goes down and she ends up in that hole and finds that the one infected down there, she ends up stabbing him. And then they meet back up and something happens. And then they pan over to, was it Bill and Frank?
Yeah, Bill and Frank. Yep. Yep.
And then at the end of the episode, it comes back to them again.
Yeah, it's like a full circle.
So,
yeah.
So exactly, it's like a full circle kind of episode, but you know, character building and backstory.
Yeah, no, it's definitely it makes you, like I said, it humanizes the characters instead of these hard, rough edged people. Like you kind of like start to feel and build relationships with them in your own right.
Yeah, it explains why they are the way they are.
Exactly. So enough with The Last of Us. So the first article in the news today that we're going to discuss is Shigeru Miyamoto. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Miyamoto
discusses the future of Nintendo without him. For, as Cotter put in the notes, for anyone living under a rock, he was the creator of some of the most iconic games of the last 50 years. Some of note are the Super Mario Brothers series, The Legend of Zelda. He says that when the time comes that people in the company have a sense of what it means to be Nintendo, which I agree. And after 45 years in the industry, he's now 70. And Miyamoto states that him stepping down is not happening. He still has many projects that are being worked on at the moment. And the credit to the article that was referenced is from Insider Gaming's Mike Straw.
The guy's a legend in the community.
Oh, he's a legend. Yeah, he's a gaming legend.
Yeah, he's one of the all-time goats.
And he, you know, obviously, like, he knows what he's doing with Nintendo. Is staying in their lane, and they are producing hit after hit. And, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Why? It's like you said, they know what they're good at, and they keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. And they put people in power that believe in their brand. Like, they're not looking for these people to try to like change what Nintendo is.
Yeah.
And I think that's what works for them. But I mean, being part of Super Mario, The Legend of Zelda, I mean, those are two of the most iconic series in gaming history, let alone just Nintendo.
100%. I mean, millions upon millions upon millions of people have played those games over the years.
Yep. And, you know, when he decides to step down, which, you know, who knows? It could be another 20 years. Who knows? He's going to make sure whoever takes over is going to just, you know, stick to the game plan. I'm sure they have like this like big like flow chart that's like in their office that goes like a mile long. That's like 10, 20 years in advance of what they're planning to do. They keep everything so close to the vest. You never know when a game's going to come out or released. Like, it just changes, you know? So I'm not really worried, but
he said he's got several projects still in work, so it's not like he's going anywhere.
Yeah, he's
anytime soon. It's just pretty much he was asked a question, and he thinks that Nintendo will be fine without him. He thinks there's a lot of very talented people over, you know, on the executive board and everything that have a lot of great ideas of how to move the company forward after he steps away. So, you know, I wish him all the best in the rest of his career, and you know, we can only hope that we get more hits out of him before he leaves.
Yep, exactly. You know, and speaking of big hits, right? So From Software announced the long-awaited expansion for Elden Ring.
Yeah, a lot of people were waiting for this.
Yes, you know, there has no release date yet, but the title will be Shadow of the Entry. And this is a highly anticipated expansion. Go ahead.
I was going to say, with the game being out over a year now.
Yeah, you know, did they go into any detail about the expansion? Like, is it going to be like a real big expansion or just like a, you know?
I mean, they didn't go into the size of it. They just kind of, you know, gave a basic description and the name. Like I said, they haven't given all the information about it yet, just that they have finally announced it and that it's coming soon.
This gives me kind of a reason to try and play a little bit more Elden Ring. I got to that main opening spot and got slaughtered like about three times in a row. And
if you got to the main opening spot and got slaughtered, I mean, there's like how many bosses in this game?
Oh, I have no idea. It, you know what it is?
From what I've heard, there's over 100 bosses.
So, like, see, like my issue, and it's not an issue really. I'm not familiar really with the From Software games, so it's learning the controls and the patterns of the enemies. That's pretty much right, the game, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I need to do. I need to take time out of my day. Like right now, like I don't have time to sit there and just like sit there through Elden Ring and put in like a good chunk of like, let's say 3 or 4 hours straight to learn how to get everything going. Because I know once I get going, I'll be fine. But it's having to have that, you know, initial tutorial of my own.
Just what? Pretend you're playing Punch-Out. You just got to learn the pattern.
Yeah, learn the pattern, right? Well, Punch-Out's a little bit easier. You know?
Once you learn the pattern.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I could probably, you know.
You know, when to time the bull charge and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, when to put up your shield, when to parry, when to roll. I get it. You know, and it'll come. I just need to have a good chunk of time to sit there and play it. And I'm hoping to get that, you know. Once winter's over and these germs go away with the kids, I can, you know, kind of sit down and give Elden Ring a really good try. I want to try and get at least some of the game done before the expansion comes out. But we'll see.
I really need to finally buy that game.
If you wait till the expansion, it'll probably go on sale for like half off or like with the expansion. That's probably your best chance to buy it.
Or wait on one of the many Steam sales coming.
That's true. You know, I mean, I think they already announced there's like 5 or 6 of them already like announced for the year.
Yeah, I tagged you in the article.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you read it.
No. You know, so now this last news article we have, Joe over there found, and he thought was extremely interesting, and I did too after reading it, is about this. You take it over. You found this one.
Well, I just thought it was a very heartwarming article. Basically, what it is there's a Twitch streamer out there that has ALS, and he makes content using, he has an eye tracker. So he does everything because he can't move or anything, and he's on a respirator and stuff like that. So basically, he does all of his actions, chat, you know, however he does it, types, all that stuff with an eye tracker. He has over 10,000 followers, and he is from Turkey. he is a biology major, and he even is a game developer in his free time. He does it all without any use of his arms, and it's really awesome to see how far technology has come, to see how he can do this. It's actually really cool. The credit for this goes to Dexerto's Virginia Glaze, and the article was actually really interesting. It's so awesome that, you know, people like him can actually participate and be able to get his story out, even though he has no use of his bodily functions for the most part.
Well, yeah, like you put the link out there, right, for me, and you're like, I think you should really read this article. I think we could do it on the podcast. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I read it, and I'm like, I see ALS, and like, you think, like, you know, there's very different stages of ALS, right? So obviously he has an extremely advanced stage of ALS. And so at first I'm like, oh, it's like, you know, Lou Gehrig's disease. I'm, you know, it's probably like motor functions, whatever. It truly is amazing that the technology exists, that a man that can't use his arms or legs can sit there and play video games. Basically, what, like you were saying, you brought up, it's an infrared tracker. And what it is the tracker is located at the bottom of his monitor. And it just reads where his eyes, I guess, like, I don't know how it specifically works with his eyes, but like, it reads his eyes. And based off of what his eye movements are, it does different things on the computer. Which is crazy insane when you think about it.
Yeah. Apparently, he actually went downhill pretty quick, too. He's 32 years old, and he started experiencing symptoms of it when he was 25. So it acted very quick.
That is very quick, because, I mean, there are people who live with ALS for 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
You know? That is extremely quick. Wow.
Yeah, basically, they said is he first began experiencing the symptoms of ALS when he was 25 years old. Due to the effects of the condition, he found himself spending his days in front of his computer, which prompted him to start streaming.
But yeah, no, it's really cool. It was a really cool article. You said it's heartfelt. You know, he's got a lot of followers. He's able to chat with them. He's able to live his life, even though he's, you know, pretty much sedentary.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, for anybody that wants to check out his Twitch stream, he goes by Gurkan.
Okay. And you know, and you know, because this is like a pretty cool article and it's heartfelt, I'll leave a link for the article and the info section of this episode. So this way, if anyone wants to read about this situation and the technology involved allowing him to do this.
I mean, it's amazing. He's got over 10,000 followers. That's incredible.
It really is. You know, so hopefully he has a couple more years left or many years left of life, and he can enjoy it while he's playing. Did they say what games he plays? Does he play like FPSs or?
He pretty much plays everything.
Oh, he does? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really go into the detail of what he actually plays, but he just said he ended up, you know, being he had the condition, he found himself on the computer a lot or behind the computer a lot. So he was like, might as well stream while he's doing it.
Yeah, definitely. You know? That's awesome. All right. So
go ahead.
I'll say next, you know, we're going to go into This Week in Gaming History, our lovely gaming history segment. And there's two things this week, and both of them are very dear to my heart. The first one was on March 3rd, which was actually this Friday, the Nintendo Switch was released 6 years ago in 2017. I think the Switch is arguably the best Nintendo console in at least the last 20 years.
To agree with you.
What?
I would have to agree with you.
Yeah, and I'm an avid... I was. I haven't really bought many Switch games lately, but I when it first came out, I was a very avid Switch game collector, and that's a very big population out there. There's a lot of us that collect Switch games.
Absolutely.
And it was released with The Legend of Zelda, which, of course, is another awesome game, and I mean, I have a collection of probably between 600 to 700 Switch games, some rare, some not rare, but I can honestly say that it's a fun console to play, especially with kids. I mean, we play everything from Mario Party to Mario Kart to Kirby to, you know, you name it, we play it as a family. I can honestly tell you that playing the new Super Mario Brothers with both my kids on a 2D platformer and Super Mario 3D World with both my kids on a 3D platformer has been an eye-opening experience, considering the fact that all they do is run off the level. So,
I mean, they'll get there eventually.
They will. They're getting better. You know, the more they play, the better they get. But it's just funny. Like, we'll have like 40 lives, and we go through like one tough level, and the next thing you know, we're down to like two. And I'm like, oh man. But
they haven't learned the wonder that is the jump button yet.
Yeah, but also this week in gaming history, on March 4th, 29 years ago, in 1994, the NBA Jam was released on the Sega Genesis. Now, I can't tell you the amount of hours that I put in to NBA Jam on the Sega Genesis. We played that game so much, me and my cousins. My cousins did the Blockbuster tournament. I don't know if you know what that is. Blockbuster, yes, used to have tournaments where you would play games, and based off of how you performed, you'd go on to like state and national tournaments.
Yeah, you could. Blockbuster would have the tournaments, and then they would have regionals. And then eventually, you know, like for us, like the state tournament would be down at like Atlantic City. Like it was pretty cool.
And the local Blockbuster where I grew up in New Jersey, my cousin Steven actually won the local tournament, and it was the NBA Jam tournament. He won the NBA Jam tournament. He won a bike. He won like, I want to say like 6 months of free video game rentals and like a $200 gift certificate somewhere. It was pretty cool. And he won on because in NBA Jam, if anyone's ever played NBA Jam, you know that if someone goes and does a layup can never be blocked. Like, you could block dunks, you can block shots, but a layup can never be dunked. And he won with like 1 second left on the clock with that cheap, stupid layup. And he played as the Charlotte Hornets, because that was the best team in the game for the Sega Genesis, because you couldn't play as Jordan. Jordan was not a playable character.
Charlotte Hornets at the time, was that Grant Hill?
It was Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen.
On the Hornets?
No, it was Charles Johnson and Alonzo Mourning.
Okay, so pre Grant Hill.
So those two guys had like the best stats in terms of, I guess, partnership. So my cousin would always pick the Charlotte Hornets. That was his team. No one really played as the Bulls, obviously, because like I said, Jordan wasn't in this game. He was in the arcade, the original arcade version. He was in that, but he wasn't in the Sega Genesis version. Which was really cool about NBA Jam was it was like the first game where you could have hidden, like you sports game especially, where there were hidden characters. So like when you would put your initials in to keep track of, like, you know, your playing stats, if you put certain initials in and hit a button combination, you would get like special players. Like you could play as Bill Clinton, you could play as Al Gore, P-Funk. I'm trying to think of some of the other one. There was this kid who won a contest for a Midway, Air Dog. That was his name in the game. There was Kabuki. There's just a bunch of these different characters that you can unlock to play as. And it was just pretty cool to like be able to like dunk with as Bill Clinton. So, you know, it was a lot of fun to play that game.
I did not inhale.
You know, and like obviously, you know, you make three baskets in a row, you get on fire, and then you can't miss. And it kind of like revolutionized the basketball game for consoles and video games, because before that was like Double Dribble on the NES, and it was just really bad. I mean, or Jordan versus Bird, which was really bad. So, it put basketball games on the map, especially in the arcade and on the consoles.
Would you venture to say that this was probably one of the best games for Sega?
At the time, yeah, definitely.
Just for innovation?
I played that game so much, and everyone I knew. It wasn't just me. Like, everyone I knew played that game tons. So.
Yeah, even just for fun factor. Like, I mean, it was probably one of the most entertaining games to play back then.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was a lot of fun to play. And, like, you could do two-on-two. I mean, if you had four controllers. And in the arcade, you could do two-on-two. So it was always cool. And, you know, you always played against people. So you would always do, like, one-on-one. Because who had four controllers or a four-way back then? Like, not many people. So you would do one-on-one. You play as the team. And then you would just, like, a tournament style. Where, you know, loser leaves, winner stays.
Yeah, Sega controllers back then were pretty expensive.
Well, anything back then, when you put it in terms of inflation, like consoles cost like $600 in today's money.
Yeah, because I remember like back then, you know, you go to Kmart and like a Nintendo game was like $35-$40.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Back then.
Yeah, so, now, yeah, exactly.
So that's probably like $100-$120 now.
Yeah. So, you know, so we'll see. They, you know, but that's pretty much it. Like, I mean, that was a big game in my life. And then they came out NBA Jam Tournament Edition a year or two later, which was, they added a bunch of like little like quirky stuff, like 5-point spots on the court and little things like that. And they added more dunks and cooler stuff. But, you know, NBA Jam 29 years ago makes me feel old. I was 10. Ugh.
I think what made it so good, it was entertaining and innovative, but at the same time, like, it was still fairly simplistic, which made it easy to play.
Yeah, well, you had pass, shoot, and jump.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much it. And you could hit the two buttons together to steal, like shove and steal. There's no fouls, obviously, no foul shots. So it was just a very cool arcade basketball game.
I like how the NBA is now. No fouls.
No fouls, exactly. You know, you just let everyone shoot. You know, all right.
So what games you play this week?
This week I played Saints Row. Which I'm slogging through, and I mean not slogging, I'm enjoying it immensely, but I'm getting through it. And I, with the kids, they, for whatever reason, we had President's Day off last week. Last Monday was President's Day, and I had off with the kids, so we went through Walmart. You know, we're walking around, and obviously we get to the kiosk with the Nintendo Switch, and there, you know, you can't really play any games, but they have like the demos and like the samples of games you could look through. So my daughter finds Sonic and Mario 2020 Olympics. She's like, oh, Sonic and Mario. So she clicks on it, and you get to play like the 100-yard dash or something. And so I'm like, all right, you know, time to, we're there for like 3 or 4 minutes. I'm like, all right, let's go. We got to get going. We can't just sit here all day and play the Switch when we have one at home.
Hey.
What?
I said, come on, let me play again.
And so as we're going out, she's like, do we have that game at home? And I'm like, yeah, of course we have that game at home. I mean, we, at that point, 2020, I mean, I think I was buying every Switch game that came out. So we got home and she was like, I want to play it. So we started playing that, and the running is pretty much button tapping, button mashing on the A button. So her and my...
Needless to say, you excelled at that.
Oh, so like her and my son were playing, right? And they're like, so they... I got the baby to bed, and like, oh, can you play with us? And I'm like, all right, yeah. So we're doing it. And she's like, and this is her word. She goes, all right, on this one, Daddy, you have to tap the button as many times as you can. And the R button gives you a speed boost. So I'm like, okay, right? So we're playing, right? And it's a relay race. So like, we're each a leg. So she's like, she's going to go twice. So she's the first person. She's tapping the button. She hands it off to my son. He's tapping the button. Uses their speed boost. And it gets to me, and I'm like, grrr. And I like fly, and they're looking at me like I'm going faster than them when they're using their speed boost. And then I use the speed boost, and they're just like looking at me like as if like, I don't know, like I had like some superhuman strength here. And I'm like, and I said, when it comes to tapping one button, that's the one thing I'm really good at in video games. I can tap with a thumb. I do it with a thumb. Most people tap with that finger. You could get a lot more taps in than with a thumb. But I hold the controller when I do it. And needless to say that they couldn't beat me. And I don't let them win in video games. I don't believe in that.
No. They got to learn the hard way.
Yep. And especially like when we do like Mario Party and stuff, like I don't let them win anything. They'll use cheap stuff to try and like team up on me, and like they'll get more stars here and there. But the Olympics were fun. It was the first time I ever really played it because I never had a reason to. But now that they're into it, and now I think she's been playing it all week. Like that's all she's been playing. It's like anytime we say, oh, you know what? You could get like a half hour video game time or something. She goes to the one on the TV.
We used to play.
Well, we used to play the ESPN track and field.
No. The Mario, there was a Mario Sonic.
On the Wii. We played on the Wii.
Yeah, that was fun.
So I we had a good time playing with that, that was a lot of fun. And then I played Saints Row, and I still don't know why this game gets so much flack. I guess because the Saints Row purists don't like it, but I'm enjoying the game and the story, and it's just senseless shooting things and blowing things up. And
why? Because God forbid they can't run around with a chicken and hit people with it. I don't think it's that.
I think it's because it's a whole new set of characters. Like, it's not even like Johnny Gat and the True Saints. It's like a whole new group of people. Like, it's a whole new story, a whole new thing. And I think they just can't get their head wrapped around the fact that it's good. Like, they don't want to believe that it could be good. You know what I mean?
So you're saying they're hating the game without actually giving it a try?
I think they're giving it a try, but because it's not like the old games, they play it for like 5 hours or whatever, and they're like, oh, you know, meh. You know how it is. So what have you been playing? Because I only played those two games this week.
Played more Minecraft.
Oh, Minecraft.
I've been on the rank play for Modern Warfare 2.
All right.
That released, so I finally been playing that, doing the grind on that, trying to see how high I can climb into rank play. I'm currently almost to silver.
Okay. And what is it, like bronze, silver, gold?
Well, it goes bronze 3, bronze 2, bronze 1, silver 2, or silver 3, silver 2, silver or 1, or vice versa. I can't remember which order the numbers are.
Okay. So the same way Overwatch was.
Yeah, exactly. Same rank. Exactly. And then it goes up to like crimson, iridescent, diamond, you know, like that stuff.
Oh, so it goes even higher than gold.
Oh yeah, it goes crimson, iridescent, or diamond, crimson, iridescent, and then whatever the top one is, I can't remember the name of it. And then it goes, there's another ladder where it's just the top 250 players in the world.
Oh wow. Think you'll ever make it there?
No. I think when I finally get settled into how high I can get, I think I'll probably sitting around gold. If I could, probably around gold 2.
Gold 2. All right.
Gold 2. 3. Max probably platinum, the lowest platinum rank.
3.
Yeah.
Because I'm really
horrible at search and destroy.
Okay.
So once you start getting up in that and playing search,
yeah,
you're going against people that are really good in search, and a lot of the matches you play are search and destroy.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, search and destroy is tough. So
it is a tough one.
So it's a fun game mode. It's just it's tough, you know, because you only get one life around.
Yeah, it's for the people who are like, you know.
My favorite game mode in the game currently, probably a couple of the maps that Control is played on, I really do like.
Oh, okay.
That's a fun game mode. A lot of people don't like it. I like the fact that it's like the best. It's the best of both worlds between like team deathmatch and domination.
Mm. Those are my two favorite.
The way Control works is you have two teams. They start off at 30 lives.
Okay.
One plays offense. One plays defense. And the goal is to either eliminate the enemy lives or capture the point.
Oh, or there's okay.
2 points. There's 2 points on the map.
So you have to capture both.
You have to capture both to win.
Or kill 30 people.
Yeah. Or deplete the enemy's lives. Yes.
Oh, okay. That's actually quite interesting.
Yeah. I also played a little more Descenders.
Oh, you're really into that game.
That game, man. I'm not saying it's everybody's cup of tea, but I really found that game to be very entertaining to play. I mean, it's got a great soundtrack, and I just find myself, I keep coming back to it.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's what, you know, gaming's about. Especially, I like when a game has a good soundtrack, because even if you're just kind of like la-di-da through it, at least it like makes you bop your head a little bit. You kind of can get into the game better.
Well, that's the whole thing, is it's like, it's got like a house music kind of techno vibey kind of soundtrack to it, and it's really nice to listen to.
All right, cool. And then which one of your worlds were you working on Minecraft this week? I know you have a couple of them out there. You have like a water world and a fire world and a
on my gamer tag, not the very average gaming one.
Okay,
I have like six.
Okay.
I have one it's like a forest treehouse kind of world.
Oh, cool.
I have another one where they have, if you go to a desert in Minecraft, you come across what's called a desert temple.
Hmm.
And basically what I did is I remodeled it and turned it into my base.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So I have that. I have another one where I kind of have a log cabin that's on like an island. I'm still in the process of working on that. And then I have my original world, which currently I have like a bridge system that it connects a bunch of the different islands and stuff. And then I just knocked my house down and I'm rebuilding that. And then I have like a villager trading outpost where I saved a bunch of zombie villagers, and then I turned them back into regular villagers. And then I gave them the, cause you can buy books and stuff off of a librarian villager.
Okay. But so in-depth.
It's more in-depth than you would think from a little block game. But each one of them has, villagers has their own little workstation. The librarian villager has what's called a lectern.
Okay.
And what it is you can, if you haven't traded with that villager yet, you can keep putting down the lectern and picking it up. And what it'll do is every time you do that, it'll change the book that they sell. And you can get it to the point where they will sell, you know, any enchantment that you may want.
Oh, well, I got you. Okay. But once you buy it locks it in place.
Once you trade with that villager, it locks that trade in.
So whatever enchantment it is, that's the only one you could buy from forward.
Whether it's looting or sharpness or protection or, you know, or knockback or whatever, or thorns, whatever you have, you know, you want to put on your armor or weapons, sharpness, efficiency, all kind of stuff.
I find that I learn something new about Minecraft every week we talk about Minecraft.
It's way more in depth than people realize it is.
Yeah, you know, it definitely sounds that way.
And especially with, I would say probably the 5 years, they've added so many new features that the game is just like, it's like they're about to come out with a new major update, 1.20,
okay,
which is the Trails and Tales update or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they're adding a bunch of new stuff. They're adding what did I see that they're
cliffs,
adding for
right?
that?
They're adding cliffs.
No, yeah, cliffs was the last one.
Oh, okay.
That they made caves and cliffs or whatever it's called. They added height to the world, and then they changed the terrain generation and stuff like that.
Hmm.
But no, this one's supposed to add a bunch of new. They're adding a couple new mobs. They're adding a new tree type, wood type. They're adding, from what I saw, they're adding pots or whatever, archaeology.
Like I can dig for fossils now.
Well, yeah. So it's pretty cool.
It's nice to see that. I mean, the game's been out for what, like 15 years?
I think Alpha came out in 2009.
Okay, so that's close.
2008, 2009, Alpha came out. Right in there, yeah.
14, 15. And the fact that they still are giving it like this kind of content updates just shows like how much they believe in the game.
Well, not only that, but I mean, for how much that, you know, Microsoft paid Notch for Minecraft. I mean,
well,
it's the number one selling game ever.
Well, yeah, but so, that's also because it's, you know, it's kind of like, I take that with a grain. I mean, it is. I'm not going to argue that. But I think it with a grain of salt for the sole purpose of, like, they released it on every console.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, if you bought a PS5, let's say a 4, you know, and then you have an Xbox, you want to play, you got to buy both versions. You got to buy it on the PC. You want to play it on the Switch, you got to buy it for the Switch. It's kind of like, you know, how they work.
They also have the different versions of Minecraft too, because that's true too. You have mobile version, you have Bedrock edition, you have Java for computer.
So yeah, you know,
it's just, you know what?
People are buying it. Keep putting it out.
It's not your cup of tea, but I mean, it is a fun game to play.
And it's the cup of tea to like 200 million people. So
yeah, if you have a creative mind, you can have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. You know, it's just, I just can't get into it. You know, I don't know why I've tried different games that are similar, like Dragon Quest Heroes. Love it.
Uh huh.
Minecraft just can't get into it. Don't know why, but hey, you know what? To each his own. So let's get into our games of the week. What was your game of the week this past week? What were you playing?
My game of the week was a game RPG called Edge of Eternity.
Okay.
It's a beautiful spin on an RPG using turn-based combat with RTS elements thrown in with like the whole grid system and stuff like that.
Okay.
So if a monster is going to attack you on a certain grid, you can move out of the grid so you don't get hit.
Yeah. So
it's kind of a deal. Yeah. Or you could just do right. You don't have to use the grid. Unless they move away from you, then you have to move closer to them.
Okay.
Because you have to be on a grid next to the enemy in order to attack them. So there's that aspect, but there's a whole bunch of little features and stuff they added to that looting and stuff. It's basically like you'll run around the world and like you'll see a rock or something glowing and you just run over and tap X or.
It's like the old Final Fantasy thing. Like you would see some like a little light or something, and you're like, "Oh, I mean, I can click on that and like investigate."
Yeah, well, that's what it'll do is you'll run over top of it and it'll say interact, and then you can collect whatever's the combat's smooth. You get it's like a gem system, and basically what it is you have two types of experience. You have your character experience. And you have your weapon experience.
All right.
So your weapon levels up. Current weapon I'm using goes to level 8. And basically with the way the gems work is you'll get like a red gem, a yellow gem, a blue gem, yellow's lightning, red's fire, blue's, you know, cold damage. And as you level up the weapon, you can add more gems to it so that you can do more magical attacks, and then you can attack, you know, an enemy may have a weakness to cold or, you know, maybe resistant to cold, so like you have to kind of like do that with the whole combat system. It was pretty cool. And then, you know, you can run past people and, you know, buy stuff, or you can walk up, they'll have like a little paragraph thing over their head, you can walk up and talk to them. Hmm. Stuff like that. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's like your prototypical RPG. But I'm finding I'm having fun with it, so I definitely probably will be putting more time into it.
It makes his rotation, folks. It's gonna make his rotation.
Hey, what did you play this week?
I played Kill It With Fire, and this was a fun game. It was very short, so I was able to actually finish the game this week. Like with how much I get to play, like I got through it. And basically, like the whole game is you running around having to look through all these nooks and crannies to kill spiders. And you start off, it's kind of slow. You start off with this clipboard, and you have to smash them. But the aiming is really slow. And there's no invert on the axis. So, like, the y-axis is not what you're used to. It's like a pain in the butt. So, needless to say that the beginning was a little slow and it's tedious looking for the spiders. However, once you're able to start upgrading your weapons and you're like scorching these things, it is a lot of fun. It takes, you know, it's something that takes away from the traditional first person shooter aspect, because that's what this is. It's an FPS, you know, first person game.
Okay.
And, you know, I enjoyed it. It's really short, so I'm glad it was on Game Pass. I didn't have to spend money on it. And not only do you have to kill spiders, but they have kind of like little objectives that are like there's a little objective thing that shows you, like, it'll say like, oh, smash this many picture frames, or like make sure to collect all the tools together. But
side objectives.
Yeah, kind of. You don't need to do, but if you do them, it speeds up the process of getting better weapons. Better ways to kill the spiders. It's just very tedious to find the spiders.
Needless to say, nobody in your house is watching you play this game.
And the spiders were pretty cool. Like, their movements and, like, how they looked, they look kind of realistic for a game that, like, you know what it was. But
yeah,
as you get into the later levels, everything in the world is, like, interactive with, like, you can, like, knock it off, you can push it, you can open drawers, you can... So trying to find all the spiders becomes a very, like... can become a very tedious job.
Because you have to look everywhere.
Yeah, to try to find them. So, like, that kind of started taking away from it after you've been playing for a couple hours, and you're like, you know, like, I just want to kill the spiders. I don't want to have to look for it. But I think it's worth a roll in the hay.
Okay.
You know, to play for, it's a couple, I would say it's probably like a 4, maybe 5 hour game at the most. You could probably run through it even faster than that, but I took my time with it. But I enjoyed it, and it was a lot.
Basically, like a game where you could kill some time with.
Yeah, exactly. It was a fun game, but not extremely in depth. And I wish that some of the control aspects and the speed and like the tediousness of it was kind of a little scaled back. But other than that, it was good. If I had to give it like a scale from, let's say, like a 1 to 10, or let's say like our scale 1 to 5, I'd say like a 2.5, 3. So worth it because of the time you put into it. It's not a long game, so you're not like sitting there like killing yourself. But it's not a game that I would like highly recommend. Like I'm not gonna sit there and say, oh, you have to play this game. But it's fun. So what did you end up picking up for this week? What are you gonna try this week?
So I came across it's actually a newer game called Proteus.
Okay.
Proteus is a first-person shooter of old, reimagined using modern rendering technologies and techniques. Experience the quality you would from any AAA title, designed with retro aesthetics and gameplay to invoke tech-imposed limits of older hardware. The game was crowdfunded successfully in 2019. So that's cool. I'm always down to try something that's crowdfunded. The player assumes control of a corrupted agent from Proteus, the mysterious creator of the player and the game world. The only goal is to destroy Proteus and anything else that gets in the way.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a first-person shooter, so I'm going to, I'll have fun with it.
I'm a very big person who does crowdfund a lot of games. I usually crowdfund games that give me a physical copy of it. I like to just have it. And like me and you were talking earlier this week, and what I do with that, right, to give a little in-depth of my life, right? So, was it going on 8 years ago? My dad passed away 8 years ago. And so what I do is whenever I crowdfund a game, they always let you, like, if you get the physical copy, you're always a higher tier. It's not like the digital copy. And they let you put your name for the credits. So I put his name in there in the credits. So like he's in the credits in like probably would say like 10 to 15 of these crowdfunded games because... You know, it's just something I do, and I enjoy I like to support these indie developers.
Yeah, the one other game of the week I did a few weeks ago, The Long Dark, that game was crowdfunded as well.
Yeah, a lot of these games are doing crowdfunding.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it really is, But it sounds like, I think you're going to enjoy this. You're a first-person shooter kind of guy, so I think this is going to be a game you'll probably enjoy. So hopefully we'll see if it makes your rotation.
What made your new game of the week?
My new game of the week is called Merge and Blade, and it literally just came out on the Game Pass, but it's Merge and Blade is a fantasy puzzle game. You will engage in a large-scale battles with monsters with your own squad, which is made using merged mechanics. After a battle, you can recruit new units using merged mechanics. By proceeding with these puzzles and battles, you will retake the castles occupied by the monsters. So basically, merged mechanics is like, if you have four of the same guy, you can merge them into a stronger version of that guy. If anyone doesn't know what merged mechanics in a video game is. What makes this really cool, and this is what got me interested in it, is the puzzle system of how the game plays. Is the game... is a puzzle that builds blocks that come down like Tetris.
Ooh.
But it's not about like holding, this is what it says in the description, it's not about holding for a long time or removing blocks. It's about merging the same three or more units to create a higher class. So as you're battling, the blocks are going to come down, and as you merge them together, it makes your group of people stronger.
Oh, okay.
To fight these battles.
So it's like an upgrade.
Yeah. And, as you get through the battles, then at the end of the round or battle or whatever, you get to go to, like, some hub, I guess, and, like, merge things you've collected or, like, probably upgrade. I haven't played yet, so I don't know. But it's, like, a cross between, like, it's like Tetris, but with, like, swords and battling. So I think I'm going to really like this. I'm a big puzzle player. I love Tetris. And I love battle mechanics. So I'm hoping that this game draws my attention and I can enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. I hope you do enjoy it. Sounds like an interesting game.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I think that's pretty much it. Hopefully we have the two games we'll enjoy.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of fun stuff out there to try and find, and you know, looking forward to playing, you know, the games this week and some more rank play, and you know, maybe upgrade some more Minecraft worlds and have some more fun.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm hoping to beat Saints Row this week. That's my goal, is to finally beat the story.
Well, you said you have about 15 to 20 hours in right now, right?
It might be more. I have to figure out how to locate how many hours I've played on like games for the PlayStation. I don't know where to locate it. Like Xbox makes it very easy, but the PlayStation, it's like hidden somewhere. I got to figure out how.
Yeah, they tend to be very weird when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, you know. So I'm hoping that I'm almost done the story. I think I am based on where it's progressing, but I plan on continue to play just to do the side quest stuff after I'm done with it. It's so much fun. And I will go into more in depth once I beat the story. I will go more in depth on my Saints Row play, because there's too much to cover in today. Like, it's just too much.
Oh, absolutely. That's a massive game.
You know. But me beating Saints Row is probably a long way off. So with that, if you're liking what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast and on YouTube. And on the YouTube channel. You know, you can visit the website at veryaveragegaming.com. Pretty much we just kind of put up there our weekly games. You know, the new video for the new podcast is always up there. You know, and also the audio, if you want to listen to just the audio, and it'll show you where you can get it. And pretty much follow us on social media, you know, Twitter, Twitch. Yeah, you've been streaming a little bit lately, right?
Last few days I've been streaming, playing some the Modern Warfare 2 rank play.
You know,
if you guys want to come check me out over there, you know, my Twitch handle is Bud Cotton.
It's Bud Cotton. One day we'll figure out where that came from, but not today. And, you know, and all the links to the social media is on our website. So hopefully you guys could go there, visit. You know, we're really liking the support you guys are giving us. You know, we've noticed more and more people are slowly trickling in and watching the videos. So, you know,
yes,
comment, and subscribe.
Yes, we appreciate all the support.
You know, tell your friends if you like what you hear. And just like you, we're average too.
See ya.